Mae'r darlleniad heddi yn dod o Lyfr Cynta Samuel, penod 31, Saul a'i feibion yn marw. Dyma'r Philistiaid yn dod, ac ymladd yn erbyn Israel, ac roedd rhaid i filwyr Israel ffoi. Cafodd llawer iawn ohonyn nhw eu lladd ar fynydd Gilboa. Yna, dyma'r Philistiaid yn mynd ar ôl Saul a'i feibion, a dyma nhw'n llwyddo i ladd y meibion. Jonathan, Abinadab a Malchishua. Roedd y frwydr yn ffyrnig o gwmpas Saul, a dyma'r bwaseithwyr yn ei daro a'i anafu'n ddifrifol. Dyma Saul yn dweud wrth y gwas oedd yn cario'i arfau, cymer dy gleddyf a throwana fi. Paid gadael i'r paganiaid yma ddod i'm camdrin am lladdu. Ond roedd gan y gwas ofn gwneud hynny. Felly dyma Saul yn cymryd ei gleddyf a syrthio arno. Pan welodd y gwas fod Saul wedi marw, dyma fe hefyd yn syrthio ar ei gleddyf a marw gydag e. Felly, cafodd Saul a tri o'i feibion, y gwas oedd yn cario'i arfau a'i filwyr i gyd eu lladd y diwrnod hwnnw. Dyma bobl Israel oedd ar ochr draw i'r dyffryn a'r tu ôl i'r Iorddonen yn clywed fod milwyr Israel wedi ffoi a bod Saul a'i feibion wedi cael eu lladd. Felly dyma nhw'n gadael eu trefi a ffoi. A symudodd y Philistiaid i fyw ynddyn nhw. A diwrnod ar ôl y frwydr pan aeth y Philistiaid i ddwyn oddi wrth y cyrff merw, daethon nhw hyd i Saul a'i dri mab yn gorwedd yn farw ar fynydd Gilboa. Dyma nhw'n torri pen Saul i ffwrdd a chymryd i arfau. Yna anfon negeswyr drwy wlad y Philistiaid i gyhoeddi'r newyddion da yn hemleau i diwiau ac wrth y bobl. Wedyn, dyma nhw'n rhoi arfau Saul yn heml y ddiwies Ashtard ac yn crogi ei gorff ar waliau Bethshan. Pan glywodd pobl Jabesh yng Gilead beth oedd y Philistiaid wedi gwneud i Saul, aeth eu milwyr i gyd allan a'i thithio drwy'r nos. Dyma nhw'n cymryd cyrff Saul a'i feibion oddi ar waliau Bethshan a mynd â nhw i Jabesh a'i llosgi yno. Wedyn, dyma nhw'n cymryd yr esgyr na'i claddu o dan y goeden tamarisg yn Jabesh ac yn prydio am wythnos.
Good morning. Today we've reached the last chapter in our studies of the book of 1 Samuel. And they say there's nothing like a happy ending. Well, indeed, this is nothing like a happy ending. We see the end, not just of this book of the Bible, but the end of Saul in rather a horrible way. The books of 1 and 2 Samuel were originally written as one complete book. So our story does naturally stop today. We hope to pick up the story in a couple of years' time when we return to the narrative and look at 2 Samuel. What about the text before us today? What can we learn and how can we benefit from this rather grisly tale? The chapter begins with yet another battle between the Philistines and Israel. This time it's the Philistines that have the upper hand, and there are lots of casualties on the Israelite side. Three of Saul's sons, including David's best friend Jonathan, are killed, and Saul himself gets critically injured. As he's too wounded to continue fighting, he asks his armor bearer to kill him so that the enemy won't get that pleasure. The armor bearer refuses, so Saul kills himself. This leads to the Israelites in the whole area leaving their towns and villages and running away to try and stay safe from the invading Philistines. The following day, when the Philistines are out tidying up after the battle, they find Saul's body. They chop off his head, take his armor, and they put his armor in their temple, and thereby ascribing the victory of the battle to their own gods. Saul's decapitated body is displayed on the city wall, along with his sons, where it stays until Israelites from Jabesh Gilead come and take the bodies away and cremate them. Cremation is very rare in the Bible, and this was presumably done to prevent from the Philistines from taking the bodies back and abusing them further. So that's the history lesson. But What can we learn? What's the message for us today? Three things I'd like us to remember from this passage. Turn, learn, and burn. 1 Samuel, although it's named after the priest Samuel, is really the tale of two men, Saul and David. And the narrative, as you've heard over the past few weeks and months, has switched back and forth between these two. In many ways, there are a lot of similarities between them, a king and a king-to-be. Both are strong leaders. Both have strengths and weaknesses. And the end of Saul here is also a beginning. We see the end of the people's monarchy and the beginning of God's monarch. For inside, where it really matters, Saul and David were very different. See, both made mistakes, both got things wrong, both wandered at times far from God's way. But the difference is this: David turned back to God each time. Turn, our first point. Because David, when we look at his life, he made some terrible mistakes. He went on to break, I think, all of the commandments. He wasn't perfect. But he did what we all need to do. He turned back to God each time. And there's a biblical word for this turning. We call it repentance. It means a genuine sorry, a turning around. We turn away from our sin, our wrongdoing, and we turn to God. Turning right around. Last week in my horse riding lesson, we were practicing doing a turn on the forehand. That's when the horse stands still and turns around 180 degrees on the spot, ending up facing in the opposite direction. And that's a good picture of repentance. A 180-degree turn. Turning away from our own desires and deciding we're going to go God's way and yielding everything to Him. And that's what marked out David as being different to Saul. You see, both knew something of God. Both had spiritual experiences of Him. Both, in their turn, were called by God to lead the people. But Saul chose his own way and didn't return. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs which says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." And that's what Saul found out in today's chapter. The end is here for Saul. He's gone the wrong way. But the Bible talks of another way, Jesus himself. When Thomas asked Jesus, "How can we know the way?" Jesus replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Saul went one way, his own. David chose another way, God's way. So our challenge this morning is, which way are you going? David remembered to turn, all the time to turn back to God. The Bible reminds us there is no difference. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. And that's our first repentance, isn't it? When we come to God for the first time and yield to Him. Maybe that's where you need to start today. Deciding that you're not going to go your way any longer, but you want to go God's way. Maybe you made that decision a while ago. Because there's also, isn't there, the continuing examining of our lives. We need to continually repent. Repent of things that creep into our lives that are not right. How has this last year been for you spiritually? It's been a very different one in terms of church life. Have you been able to spend more time in prayer, in worship, more time studying God's word? Or has it been a struggle without meeting with others? Has your love for God grown cold? Has the lockdown caused you to pick up bad habits? Things that you need to turn away from things that you need to repent of? Are we going God's way, or are we going our own way? Because it's a salutary tale today as we see the end of Saul and the new beginning for David. One who turned and one who carried on going his own way. You might like to ask God to show you areas of your life which are getting in the way of your relationship with Him as we pause for worship now with our next song. Today we're reflecting on the death of Saul, a king who held so much promise at the beginning, but came to a rather sticky end. We've seen how David was different where it mattered, different on the inside. And when David went wrong, he turned back to God and sought His forgiveness. And we've been thinking about that turning. Our next point is learn. Turn and learn. Because David showed, unlike Saul, that he could learn from his mistakes. He learned what it was to follow God wholeheartedly and not to go back. You see, Saul, he didn't just make a few mistakes, but he radically denied his calling as God's anointed king. He continually showed contempt for God. There are lots of examples of this that we looked at over the past few weeks. Remember when God told him to wait for Samuel, but he didn't wait and went ahead and offered sacrifices himself. When he spared the Amalekite king Agag against God's commands. And perhaps worst of all, when he went back on his own declarations. Earlier in his reign, he expelled all the spiritists and mediums from the land. He knew they were wrong and needed to cleanse the land of them. But then, what do we have just a couple of chapters ago? Saul going off to consult one of those mediums that previously he'd banned. David, too, was human. He was a flawed character. He often got things wrong, but he showed remorse. He turned back to God and was able to learn from his mistakes and reflect where he was, where he was at. We're blessed that we have many of David's thoughts and feelings in the book of Psalms, so we can read and see how he felt, and we understand how he had a real heart for God. We can learn from David's reflective nature. How often do we stop and consider where we are on our journey of faith? We might not want to go and write poems as David did and Psalms, but we need to stop and think and take stock of where we are in our spiritual journey. Every year we take our car for an MOT and service and we have everything checked over. But what about a spiritual MOT? As we come to the end of 2020, how about pausing to consider how well we're growing in our faith, what we need to work on in our discipleship, and what we can learn from our experiences this year? We can learn from one of David's prayers in this. He wrote Psalm 139, which says, "Search me, God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Or in the Welsh version, "Chwilio fi o ddiw, it i adnabod fy nghalon, profa fi, it i ddeall fy meddyliau. Edrych a oif ar ffordd a fydd yn lwysi mi, ag arwain fi yn y ffordd dragwyddo." There's no better prayer to pray than that, is there today? Search me, God. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. We turn. We learn. One more. We need to burn. Because so far this seems quite like a challenge, doesn't it? It's quite hard. Had a call to repent, to turn away from all that is wrong in our life, continually reject anything that is not in God's plan for our lives, and to learn from our mistakes, to improve and go on in our discipleship of Jesus. But the good news is that God can help us with all of that. We have the fire of His Holy Spirit to power us in our faith. John the Baptist said of Jesus, didn't he? "I will baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's the difference. We need to burn with that fire. Do you remember Peter before and after Pentecost? He went from someone hiding, someone denying that he knew Jesus, to preaching to crowds of people and seeing God work mightily in his life and the lives of those around him. Peter was quick to deny Jesus around a campfire, but he proclaimed Jesus boldly when the fire of the Holy Spirit came upon him. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to instruct us, instruct our souls. He is our helper, Jesus said in John's Gospel. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Because God doesn't leave us alone to try and work out our Christian faith. We have God's own Spirit as a helper and teacher. And I love the picture of the Holy Spirit as a fire. I love fire. Any excuse, really. In winter, we have candles on our dining table. The symbolism of that flame is strong. God's Holy Spirit is a purifying fire. One of the aims of the Holy Spirit is to produce purity in Christians and the church. In the book of Titus, we read, Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. A silversmith would use fire to purge dross from precious metal. And today, the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to address sin in Christians and to grow the people of God in the grace of God, to refine and cleanse them from sin. Are we letting God do his work of purifying us? Why not ask God for more of his Spirit in your life today? It's a prayer that he's always happy to answer. And we are purified by his Spirit in order that we may burn brightly for him. We are called to be lights in our communities. Wherever we work, with our neighbours, in our online world. Jesus is the light of the world. And as disciples of him, he calls us to be light. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Turn, learn, burn. Are you burning brightly for God today? Or has the fire burnt low in your heart? On the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Lord Jesus talks with two disciples who describe their hearts as burning within us. I wonder, does that describe us today? Turn, learn, and burn. We need more of God's Holy Spirit in us. Today we began with the deaths of Saul. There's a far more important death in the Bible, the death of Jesus, which paid the price for all our wrongdoings and gave us the opportunity for a relationship with God himself. And it's right there in our three words, turn, learn, burn, turn. Turn to God. Repent. Turn away from any sin that's trapped you, whether that's sin from a long time ago or sin that's got hold of you recently. Turn and learn. Study the word. Ask for God's guidance and wisdom. Learn what to avoid. Learn what helps you in your faith. Give yourself a spiritual checkup. And then burn. Burn brightly with God's Holy Spirit. May you be on fire for him and draw others to his love. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we've been able to learn from the examples of Saul and David over the past year. We pray that you'll help us to follow you wholeheartedly. We pray today for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, that we may burn brightly for you in our dark world. Amen.